Please open your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. This is how the Word of God does read. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Britannia. The Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. This morning, I want to use these two verses to teach on the topic, when God shuts the door. Holy Father, into thy holy hands, I commit this time of teaching. Father, would thou please bless the declaration as well as the hearing of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You probably have heard this saying before. Use your common sense. It is an exhortation to a person to use their natural ability to make good judgment and to behave in a practical and sensible way. But using one's common sense is not the same as being discerning. Discernment is that divinely given grace to be able to distinguish truth from falsehood, as well as to recognize the moral implications of different situations and actions in order to make sound judgment. While God has endowed every human being with what we call common sense, it is only those who have been spiritually enlightened that have available to them this unique ability to discern. And it comes through the indwelling Holy Spirit. But the ability to discern is not always a slam dunk for every Christian. There are times when we struggle to discern certain things, especially when it comes to understanding what God is doing in our lives. And one area that this struggle is often manifested, at least for me, it is in the area of exercising my faith. You know, the Bible is unambiguous. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. That is to say, our walk with God is always a walk of faith. As such, we are expected to always exercise our faith, trusting that God will order our step to his will for our lives. But at times, in exercising our faith about a particular action or direction, unbeknownst to us, God might have chosen to shut that door. This is what brings discernment into the forefront. How then do we discern when God has actually shut a door? Let me put it differently. How do we discern whether the difficulties that we are facing in life, in achieving a certain goal, is a test of our faith or is indicative of the fact that God has shut that door? That's a tough question. You might not have wondered that, but I have asked myself that question a few times. Now, the answer to this question is obviously not blown in the wind. On the contrary, I believe there is an answer to how we can probably discern whether God has shut a door or not. Now, the narrative that we're going to look at this morning in Acts chapter 16 I believe, gives us a roadmap where we can actually navigate through. And as God will will it, that we will be able to discern what he's doing in that particular situation in our lives. This is what brings me to Acts chapter 16. Now, let me place this in context so you can understand what's going on here. Paul and Barnabas, at this point, are just separated. You look at Acts chapter 15, verse 39. There was a strong disagreement about John Mark, and Paul did not want John Mark, and Barnabas, the son of encouragement, wanted John Mark. And that disagreement led to the split of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Then the Apostle Paul selected Silas to accompany him on his second missionary journey. This is how we arrive at chapter 16. So in chapter 16, at the end of chapter 15, they began to go through all the churches in Syria, in Cilicia, and they were encouraging the brethren as they went forth. And the church actually was benefiting from the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we're told in chapter 16 that they arrive at Derbe and to Lystra. There they found a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was highly spoken of, so Paul decided to take Timothy with him on this missionary trip. And we're told that they were passing through the cities, delivering the decrees which had been given to them by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem, for those churches to observe. Then we come to verse 6. And we're told in verse 6 that they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region. Then something interesting happened, because in verse 6 we read that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, this sounds interesting, because the Apostle Paul here was actually carrying out the Great Commission. But in the midst of carrying out the Great Commission, God shut the door of ministry in a specific area. With this unfolding, the Apostle Paul again went, they came to a place called Masher, and they were trying to go north towards Britannia. And again, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. In essence, God shut the door again. Two times, we read here in these verses that the door of ministry was closed to the Apostle Paul and his entourage. And as we look at this set of verses, we can then see that in each one, the Apostle Paul recognized that God has shut the door and he moved on. So what we want to look at this morning is that how did the Apostle Paul, how was he able to discern what was working in this in his mind that he was able to discern that God has shut the door and he needed to look somewhere else? From this experience of the Apostle Paul, I want to actually draw out for you this morning some certain things you need to understand on how we can probably discern that God has closed the door. First, I want you to pay attention to this. To be able to discern what God is doing, especially when it relates to closing a door, you must be walking in the Spirit. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I just said. You must be walking in the Spirit. One thing that stands out about the ministry of the Apostle Paul was that he was a man who was in tune with the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the Apostle Paul exhorts the church. He said, walk in the Spirit and that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Implication of what Paul was trying to say in essence was that pattern your life according to the dictates and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, who wrote those words, Paul himself actualized those words, because Paul was a man who was led by the Spirit, a man who surrendered to the Spirit, a man who lived daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he lived in that power, it was easier for him to discern. Again, watch what I just said. When he walked in the Spirit, it was easy for him to discern that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. That is why in these two occurrences that we are told that the Holy Spirit forbade him. Paul, in walking with the Spirit, understood that what he felt, or the door that was being closed, was the Spirit of the Lord now leading him away from this area. And presumably the Holy Spirit must have ministered to him in a unique way that he recognized that this was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. But what was the Apostle Paul's strength here is the weakness of many of us as Christians. We are not fully committed to walking in the Spirit. Yes, every true Christian has the Holy Spirit indwelling within them. But there is a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit automatically, watch what I'm saying, takes place at the moment of conversion. Unlike some will tell you that you got to tarry, you don't tarry, because the moment you're born, the Spirit of the Lord begins to live within you. You are baptized into the body of Christ. You are given new life. You are renewed within your soul. Then the growth begins. The growth begins. You don't get saved and have to wait. No, the moment you get saved is the moment that you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But that is different from walking on the Spirit. Walking on the Spirit is completely yielding one's life And to the leading and to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Let me put it differently. It is the willingness to submit to the Holy Spirit's leading. Unfortunately, instead of patterning our lives according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit, instead of surrendering our lives to the leading of the Holy Spirit, many of us grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by the unawesome words that come out of our mouth. We also quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we quench the Spirit by rejecting the Word of God in obedience. So when you don't surrender to the Holy Spirit, when you don't surrender to the Word of God in obedience, how then are you able to hear? How can you now hear from God? May I tender to you this morning that a God who made the mouth, he can speak. But are you listening? Are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit so that you can actually hear when God is speaking to you? What the Apostle Paul did very well was the ability to walk in the Spirit and be able to perceive and understand and recognize that this was the Holy Spirit leading me. This was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And he acquiesced to that leading of the Holy Spirit and walked in obedience with the Holy Spirit. And that is where we can see the greatness of his ministry. And this is what is often missing. The reason many of us at times are trying to pull doors that are closed, are trying to pull it open, is because we are not hearing from the Holy Spirit, because we are not actually walking in the Spirit. And may I remind you this morning, when you try to open the door that God has closed, you will always be unfruitful. And I believe there's so many Christians today who are unfruitful in some areas of their life because they are trying to open the door that God has said, don't take that door. And the reason they can't connect with God is because they are not walking in the Spirit. There's a second thing we can discern from this set of narrative right here. To be able to discern what God is doing, especially as it relates to the shutting of a door or closing of a door, you must be very careful about rigidity. Again, let me say that again. You must be very careful about being too rigid. When you go back into this narrative, we understand or we can discern that though the Apostle Paul, which I believe, must have had his mind set on where he was going, because he actually said, let us go back and visit those churches. He had his mind set on places he was going. He had his mind set that, listen, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to Asia. I'm going to go to Britannia. He had his mind made up. But guess what? He was flexible enough to change direction at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. In essence, the Apostle Paul was not too rigid into his own agenda that he ignored the Holy Spirit. Watch what I just said. The Apostle Paul was not so rigid into his own agenda that he ignored the Holy Spirit. You know, he could have said it. At least I'm doing the work of kingdom building. You know what? I don't care. I'm going out. The Lord said, go. I'm going. I don't care what the Holy Spirit tells me. But rather, he was flexible to yield to the lead of the Holy Spirit. Again, what was the strength here of the Apostle Paul is the weakness of many of us as believers. You know, at times we have our mind made up of what we want to do. And I know this to be true, that some people even go to prayer. They already know what they want to do. They just want God to sign off on it. And we have our mind set up on an agenda. And then we are unable to consider any other detours. I've seen this over and over again in ministry. For all the years God has given me the privilege to pastor, I've seen people who are so bent on their way, on their will, that they try to make God approve what they believe is their own agenda. They're rigid. Take, for example, marriage. Let me go there this morning. You know, some Christian singles, you know, they have their mind made up. They want to be married. And guess what? There is nothing wrong with that. It's honorable. It is good. It is better than living in sin, right? That's great. Then someone comes along that all they could do is quote a little couple of scripture, John 3:16. They can quote a little scripture here and there. And boom, they just believe that this is the person to go to this altar with. And they are so rigid in their ways that they don't want to hear no negative thing that would derail what they want to do. They just want to do what they want to do, whether that is the door that God has opened, whether God is trying to tell them this is the wrong person, whether God is trying to tell them this is not where I'm pointing you. They won't listen because they're so rigid. And even, I believe, if Jesus was to appear to them in a dream and tell them, they won't change their mind because they're so carried away with this rigidity, which some might consider as tenacity. You know, the discerning of God's purpose becomes difficult. And that's why I see a lot of people run into problem. Their agenda becomes foremost in their mind rather than the leading of the Holy Spirit or even the voice of wisdom that God is granting them that they should turn and turn back. But they're so bent on this idea and this goal that they ignore the voice. And I tender to you this morning that as a believer, if you today are just so rigid and you refuse to be flexible, to listen, and to let the Spirit of God lead you, your rigidity is definitely going to lead you to failure. And I can tell you there's many people that look back and wish they could fix what they've done wrong. They wish they can get right what they've messed up in. But they cannot. But I truly believe at times the Lord will let you get to where you are, is avoiding you. God will say, you want that door open? God will let you go in there and see for yourself. and for so many that are struggling today. Perhaps you have tried to open a door that God said don't enter in, and God in his permissive will has let you feel what it feels like. And I pray to God that those of you listening to me this morning will make a better choice. There's a third thing here I want you to understand from this narrative. To be able to discern what God is doing, especially as it relates to closing a door, you must seek to surround yourself with those who know the worth of prayer and can pray for you and pray with you. Watch what I just said. Those who know the worth of prayer, who can pray for you and pray with you. Now, if you go back to this narrative, go back to chapter 15 and look at verse 40. After Paul had selected Silas to go with him on that missionary retreat, we're told in verse 40 that being committed by the brethren to the grace of God. Again, watch that verse. Paul and Silas was committed by the brethren to the grace of God. What essentially that means was this. The church prayed with them. The church prayed for them. The church laid them in the hands of God. The church laid hands upon them. The church prayed for God's mercy and God's leading upon their ministry. The church prayed that God will order their step. The church prayed that God would go before them. That's why he said they delivered them to the grace of God. In other words, that the mercy of God would go before them. The power of God would go before them. And I truly believe that this must have been impactful when Paul was on that journey, on that missionary journey, because the prayer of the righteous, the Bible tells us, availeth much. And I believe this church not only prayed for Paul, prayed with Paul, they were praying for Paul, that as Paul was going on that missionary trip, they kept meeting and they kept praying that the power of God will go before him. The power of God will lead him because he was going in the walk, or he was doing the walk of kingdom building. And I truly believe, again, this is where many of us stumble, because when it comes to seeking to go one direction, we often keep it so hush, so secretive. We don't tell nobody about it. We don't let people even join us in prayer. We don't even seek spiritual counsel of those that are spiritually mature that can be able to let us understand that this way might not be the way that God wants you to go. But we are so bent on that idea because our mind is so focused on what we want to do that we don't want nobody else to tell us no, nobody else to discourage us. And at times, when we don't surround ourselves with people who pray, we are bound to be able to walk in wrong direction. That is why I always challenge people. I challenge you that, listen, when you are going through some things, when difficulty is before you, when you find that every door you're looking for is closed, you need to get someone and surround yourself people who know the worth of prayer, people who can get on their knees and pray for you. You don't need no Facebook friends. You don't need no Instagram friends. You don't need those persons to tell you what you need to do. You need people who know the worth of prayer, who can ask God on his mercy to give you wisdom, to give you discernment. So as you go forth in whatever decision you're trying to make, that God will order your step and God will guide your step. I believe Paul benefited. Watch what I just said. Paul benefited from the prayer of the righteous. Paul benefited, and Paul will later say, he said, I covered your prayer. He said, pray for me that God will give me utterance. Paul wanted them to pray for him because he understood the effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And I believe Paul was able to discern even more clearly the leading of the Holy Spirit because he surrounded himself with men and women who know the word of prayer. He surrounded himself with men and women who will fall on their knees. That when Paul was tired, they would be on their knees praying for strength. That when Paul was weary, they would be on their knees praying that God will resource him, will give him mercy, will give him grace. That is who you need. And this morning, I'm here to tender to you that God is still speaking. God wants you to know some things. Oh, yes, there are some hidden things that God will allow for us to follow him by faith. Oh, yes, I'm not saying that every difficulty is a closed door. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that you and I must be willing to listen, to discern the voice of God, that when God is speaking, we will hear. What does this mean to me, you might ask me, Pastor Wally? When you're trying to open a door that God has closed, you are bound to run into difficulties. When you're trying to open a door that God has closed, you are bound to be unfruitful. That is why for you as a believer, you must always strive to listen and to hear from God before you step out and follow that direction that he has called you to. May God this morning grant each one of us grace to discern when God closes a door. Our Father and our God, we do honor thee this morning, thanking thee for the mercy, for the grace. Father, may thou now bless, we pray, thy word. Bless, O God, the word that has been declared, that men and women will hear and do, thus says the Lord. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.